Okay. Perek Yudalid, a big chelik of the Perek, is talking about Kolov ben Yefune. Kolov ben Yefune is coming to collect his chelik in Eretz Yisrael. And the difficulty is that Kolov ben Yefune really had a shtar for Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu promised him to get an extra chelik in Eretz Yisrael. He got chelik of Chevron. Chevron was given to Kolov ben Yefune. The Gemara talks about this in Makkos. I'm sure the Olam remembers that Chevron was really an Ori Miklat. So Chevron itself wasn't so posh to give Kolov. One opinion says he gave him the outside, these suburbs of Chevron, gave to Kolov ben Yefune. This should all be, the whole ma'aseh should be one pasuk. Kolov ben Yefune says, I have a shtar, Moshe Rabbeinu, supposed to get Chevron, I'm supposed to get an extra piece of land, Vaitegigan. And they give it to him. This thing is a whole shtickle terror. Basically, starts from pasuk hey, pasuk vav, vayikshu bnei Yehuda yishu ba'gilgal. First, the whole shevet comes. Vayemel of Kolov ben Yefune, ato yadati yasadova ashadi b'Hashem o'Moshe yishalekim. You know what Hashem told Moshe? Va'al oidoisai va'al oidoisecha b'kodesh barnea. About me and you in Kodesh Barnea. Kodesh Barnea is where Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim from. He sent them from Kodesh Barnea. So first of all, Kolov ben Yefune comes not on his own with the Ganze Shevet, like he needs his lawyers. They come to Yeshua ben Nun, and he says, you remember about me and you, meaning we were Meraglim. Ben Arboim Shana, then he tells him how old he is, how old he was. Ben Abraham Shana Noichi B'Shalech Moshe Eved Hashem Mikodesh Barnea L'Ragel Soretz. He gives him a history class, which Yeshua didn't need any history classes. Yeshua was one of the Meraglim. He even tells him, Oidei Saiv, Oidei Secha, we, both of us. He tells him his age, that he was then. Who cares how old Kolov ben Yefune was then? And then he gives some credit to himself. I responded the truth. Meaning I was from the Meraglim that came back and said the truth. The Achai and my brothers, now he badmouths the Meraglim. We already know the Meraglim. The Achai, my brothers, Asher Olu Imi, Mamish, we go through here a half a parak of Kolov ben Yefune giving Yeshua ben Nun a history class that Yeshua ben Nun knows already. And he's basically slapping himself on the back. How good, listen, you see how good I am. And the other people, the Meraglim that were with me, they were bad. Now he gets to the punchline. Vayishava Moshe b'yoyim ahu lemor, and Moshe promised me that day, im lo yoretz asher doch harag l'chobo l'chot tiyel l'nachal, ki milei sachar Hashem l'koy. Moshe promised me that land that I walked on is going to be mine. Because I was a good boy, because I listened, and I didn't do like the other troublemakers. So Moshe promised me that I'm going to get it. The Ato, now, he gives him now a new history class. It's 45 years from then. And he tells him how old he is today, even though we can add L'chaira, if he says he was 40 then, 40 plus 45, in first grade or second grade, you can come up with the right number without a pencil. Now I'm 85. I still have the koiches.
Was tut Zachda? What in the world is Kolim ben Yefune doing here? Spending over a half a parak tooting his horns, telling Yeshub ben Nun Dvorim Pshutim, Aleph Beis. And then he gets to the punchline. Tanoli Yisahara Az Asher Dibra Hashem Bayim Ahu. Period. That's all he had to say. This whole parak could have been one pasuk. Kol ben Yefune goes over to Yeshua and say, Tanoli, give me Hahara Az Asher Dibra Hashem. That's all it would have taken. Yeshua ben Nun didn't need a history class. He knew. What's going on? Vayivorcheu, Yeshua, vayitin eschevron lekolev, lenachalo. Thus it does. He gave him the nachalo. And then it tells us, you should know what chevron was. V'shem chevron lifnim kiryas arba. And you know why it used to be called kiryas arba? Kishom, because over there was basically, odom agolu banokim, chazal said that's Avraham Avinu. Basically, that was the land where the Ovis were buried. Thus it does. So this is the Perek. This is the whole Perek. 2-3 Psukim at the beginning. Yosef and Ephraim and Menashe. And then the whole Perek is dedicated to mostly Kol ben Yefune tooting his horns. How great he is. How he was different than the Meraglim. How old he was. How old he is now. He's still very strong. Just like he was strong then, he's strong now. Basically, I'm 85 and I'm still bench pressing. Vos! What's a negeya? Kekoichiyoz, kekoichiyata. Then after the whole hesped he gives on himself, he says, okay now, just give me the land that Moshe Rabbeinu said. And of course, Yeshua ben Nun gives it to him immediately. So what do you... Vos da'af min negan samayis? And then the pasuk ends. Al kein hoya lachavron lekolev ben Yefune adayim hazeh yan hashemile achar Hashem lekeis. What's tutzach? What in the world is going on here? So I'll tell you what I think is one of the takeaways from this perek. This is basically perek. I used to call it perek kolev ben Yefune. This whole perek is just about kolev ben Yefune. There are very few people in history that have a perek in Tanakh, that all it does is talks about them. That's what this perek is. And what's more alarming is that it's Kol ben Yefune himself doing the talking. But it gets recorded in Tanakh. This is the perek. So I'll tell you, Rabbi Isai, a very important lesson from this perek. And that is really the secret of how Kol ben Yefune succeeded. Because I already explained, the Chofetz Chaim, brother, in Ber Mayim Chaim, the Chofetz Chaim in the Sefer and Shmir Saloshan has a whole piece on Kol ben Yefune, the difference between Kol ben Yefune and Yeshua ben Nun, that we see Kol ben Yefune is even more praised than Yeshua ben Nun. And the Chofetz Chaim over here has a Mamish Agan Sarichis, this is in Cheluk Beis, in Shmir Saloshan Perikut, Perikut Yutes. And he tries to clarify what was special about Kol ben Yefune. Something even more than Yeshua ben Nun as far as Lagabi de Meraglim. But I'll tell you in the Kuda. We already explained in the past that Kol ben Yefune had a tremendous Nisayim. And that's why the Torah says, Ekev asher ruach acheres hayimai. Kol ben Yefune had a ruach acheres. He had a different spirit. Right? Torah doesn't say that about Yeshua ben Nun. By Yeshua ben Nun, it doesn't say Ruach Acher. So we explained in detail already a couple of prakam ago that Kolev and Yeshua ben Nun had two different missions. Yeshua ben Nun had an easier mission as far as being a Mirago, because he only had to look at the land. Remember we explained this. He didn't have to give a strategic... That wasn't his mission. He was not a spy. He really wasn't a full-fledged spy. He was just there to see the land. Because Yosef already, Shevet Yosef had another spy, Lamate Menashe Gadi Ben Susi, and he represented the whole tribe for Muhammad. That's why I explained to answer the Chofetz Chaim's kasha. Chofetz Chaim is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu give only Yeshuv Ben Nun a bracha? Koy Yeshiach. Why you give a bracha to the other Meraglim? So the way the Chofetz Chaim has a piece. The way we explained it is that Moshe's bracha to Yeshuv Ben Nun was, don't get involved. I'm giving you a bracha. Don't get involved. It's not your business. Meaning, if you're going to start looking at the strategy, you'll have the same nisayon as the Meraglim. You don't have to. He couldn't give that bracha to anybody else. He couldn't give anybody else a bracha. You know what? Don't get involved. That was their job. They had to get involved. They were spies. And Moshe gave them a dictate. Uri'isem es'oretz ma'i. Ves'or ma'yoshev alel. So all the other spies had a dictate from Moshe. This is what you have to do. So there was no option for Moshe to tell them, you should be protected. You have to do it. The bracha he gave Yeshua, he couldn't give the other man. Mestami gave them brachas too. But he couldn't give that bracha to them. Because that was their job. That's why Kolob ben Yefune remains the hero of the miracle. Yeshua ben Nun was plenty a hero too, in other things. But Lagabi the Meraglim, Kolob ben Yefune is the hero. Because he was Ruach Acheres Imoy. He had the same mission as the other Meraglim, and he overcame the Nisoyan that they succumbed to, they fell down, they fell into. He overcame it. So the question is, what was the magic of his success? How was he so successful? The other Meraglim were good guys too. They were originally great men. So how did Yeshua ben Nun, whenever you see, how did Kolob ben Yefune succeed? Whenever you see such a success, you have to analyze it. Because you want to cash into it also. You want to try to chap the chabissel Kolob ben Yefune? You want to chap a little bit from him? How did he manage to succeed? So I'll tell you what I gleaned from Chazal. It's not my own dreaming. It's what I gleaned from Chazal. And then we'll understand why Kolob ben Yefune here gets so involved in explaining why he should get Chevron, and explaining that it wasn't for Gashmias reasons why Kolob ben Yefune wanted Chevron. That wasn't the reason. Kolob ben Yefune's daughter married Osniel ben Kenaz. All Kolob ben Yefune cared about was Torah. He needs another piece of land, the Chashtik land. That wasn't his interest. That's why the Torah gives us the whole introduction. I'm going to explain to you that Kolob ben Yefune had a ruchniistic reason why he was asking for this land. It wasn't a gashmiistic reason. It was a ruchniist reason why he wanted this land, specifically. And that's why he gives the whole Mishaberach. That's what he gives the whole Mishaberach. And not only was he not being a balgaive, he was really being an onuf. He was really being an onuf. What was his success? When the Mishkan was put up, so we often ask on Rashi, that Rashi says in the beginning of Parshas Truma, he tells you, kishetadaktik, if you'll be medaktik and see how many species were needed for the Mishkan, you'll find that they needed 13 species, 13 different minim to put up the Mishkan. That means tchelos, agomon, toshim. If you count it up, Rashi says, it's 13. So there's two questions on Rashi. Question number one, what do you mean kishetadaktik? It's like a big mathematical thing. Just count. Kishetadaktik, you'll find that it's 13. What does Rashi mean with that? Secondly, actually, if you count, it's 15. It's not 13. You could go and use your fingers and three toes and you'll see. It's 13. It's 15, not 13. It's one teretz. Rashi is telling us the following. When we put up the Mishkan, such a lofty thing, Mishkan, mostly it was our nediv lev, our donation, our dedication, we put up the Mishkan. But the fact is that there were two minim that we didn't bring. One of them was Atzei Shittim. Chazal teach us that Yaakov Avinu already brought the Atzei Shittim to Mitzrayim. And Yaakov didn't even bring his own Atzei Shittim. Yaakov Avinu brought logs from Avraham Avinu's tree that he planted Fachmos Azorch. Fayita Heishel. So Yaakov Avinu cut down those trees. And he brought those trees to Mitzrayim. And ultimately, they were brought to the Midbar, and that's where they built the Koshim from. That's that. And the Tchoshim, we know the Yerushalmi, says that Tchoshim is a min beria that never existed, such an animal, with all those colors. And it was Nizdam and Lufishah, the Rebbeinu Shem brought that species to the Midbar, and they used that for the Mishkan. So it comes out that Klal Yisrael really only had to bring 13 minim. So Rashi Kisha Tadaktik, if you'll be medaktik, if you count regular, it's 15. But if you're medaktik, you'll see that there was only 13 that they needed. The other two was already given to them. But what's the deeper message? The deeper message is that in order to have a success of the Mishkan, the magnitude of the Mishkan, you need, of course you need to put your effort in. That's the 13, to put in your effort. But you have to also know that you have to go with Mesorah. You can't just bring your own. You have to build it on the foundation of the Mesorah, of what you got from your father, from his father. That's why they needed the Koshim to come from Yankiv. Come all the way back from Avraham Avinu. That's the Ovis. The other most important ingredient is you have to know you need Siyata Dishmaya. It's not you. Number one, it's not you. It's the Rabbanu Shalom. So because of that, the Mishkan couldn't be completed without Sai, the crushing from Yaakov Avinu, which that was the Messiah of the Ovis that Klal Yisrael had, and without the Tchoshim, which represented the Siyata Dishmaya. That's not my, it's not us, it's not Koichi Voitzimel, it is a Siyata Dishmaya. Be'emes, Kol of Ben Yefuna would have never been able to succeed. He wouldn't have been able to succeed. If he would have been using his own rationale, he would have never succeeded. He couldn't have succeeded. Why? Because the test of the Meraglim was too great. The test of the Meraglim was for a couple little guys to go into Eretz Yisrael and to observe an impossible army with giants and monsters and to come back and go, yeah, no problem, we can do it. Vos, Narish, no way. Which is exactly what the Meraglim said. The Meraglim came back, they said, no way. It's not possible. You can't. Not only that, you couple that with, like Chazal tell us, that there was another Nisoyan. All of these Meraglim, if they would have gone into Eretz Yisrael, they were going to lose their job. Because the Nesim and the Midbar were made to change when they go to Eretz Yisrael. You understand? The Nesim in the Midbar were going to lose their position. Because in Eretz Yisrael, we were going to make new appointments. So on top of the regular Nisoyan, on top of the regular Nisoyan that the Meraglim had, they had another Nisoyan, that by them giving a good report, they're basically giving up their job. And if you look around today in politics, you'll see it's not easy to give up your job. It's not even easy to give up anything for a job that you're trying to get. You have two buddies, Warren and Sanders. Mamish, kemat ish v'isha, almost married to each other. Bishita, they kemat. They both hold of the same mishigasin. Mamish mevaze each other. All the friendship is gone because of a position they're never going to get anyway. Right? Halavai. Not easy to give up a position. The Meraglim were going to lose a position. They were going to lose their presidency. They were going to really be impeached. They were really, side by the House, side by the Senate. They were really going to get impeached. How do you overcome such an issue? How does one? There's a Gevaldik about Shem Tov. I have to end very soon, so we'll just tell you to very quickly, even though this really should, it's a longer piece that you have to think about. Baal Shem Tov says, when we say in Davening, Elokeinu v'Elokei Aviseinu, why don't we just say Elokei Aviseinu? We just say Elokeinu. So he says that a person's emunah in Hashem should really be based on two things. It should be based on Elokeinu. Hashem wants you to think. Hashem doesn't want you to be a zombie. You should be a thinker. You should build your emunah. You should understand your emunah. Kuzri, there's many things to think about in your emunah. But at the same time, there's also Lekei Aviseinu. Emunah Pshuta. You got it from your father, you got it from his father, Moshe Rabbeinu. Emunah Pshuta. But Hashem says you need both. As much as Hashem wants you to develop your emunah, you still have to always revert back to Lekei Aviseinu, because sometimes you have kashas on their bris. The last 2 days I've been dealing with people have so many kashas on their bris. Good kashas. Good kashas. Right? But there's anoichi. Even if you have a kasha, as much as you understand your emunah, if your emunah is only going to be limited to when you understand, your emunah is in jeopardy. So the Baal Shem says you need Elokeinu, but you need also Elokei Aviseinu. You need emunah pshut. You need emunah as a mesorah that you got from your father, from his father. Yerushas Avos. Without that, everything is in danger. Reb Chaim Oizer once took a bunch of his Talmidim on a trip in Europe. They had to go through Europe anyway. And he showed his Talmidim how all the Chassidus is Tetlach. Because the Litvaks used to say, the Chassidim, the Litvaks didn't have such a Chashivas for the Chassidim. He said, if you look at all the Chassidus is Tetlach, they all survived the Haskalah. Just about. The Chassidus is Tetlach weren't affected by the reformers. Called the Maskilim. They ripped away, in the Litvish world, they ripped away a lot of people. You know, they pulled away their faith. Chassidim not. Chaim Oizer said, you know why not? He said, by a chassid, you go to a chassid, you tell him, listen, I have an enlightening idea. Talk to my Rebbe. Talk to my Rebbe. Talk to me. You want to enlighten me? Enlighten my Rebbe, then I'll talk about being enlightened. There's nothing to talk to. A Litvak, you have a good story, he's always ready to hear. I have something to tell you, Rosh Hashiva won't like. Oh, you really want to hear it. A Chosid, the Kloisenberger Rebbe, Zola Gesundheim from Netanya, is now by my Schwager's house, by Dovid, across the street from my house. You have to see it. It's a Malchus. And he could say anything, and there's no questions. A Litvak always has a kash. No matter how much you hold of a person, you have a kasha. There's no kashas. That's what the Baal Shem Tov is saying. If you have emunah pshuta, you can always go there. The emunah pshuta will always preserve you. Kolev ben Yefuna, when he went to be meragel Eretz Yisrael, he was mishtateach al kivrei Avos. Why do you go to the kivrei Avos? Rashi brings it down in Parsha Shlach. That's where he went. He went to Hebron. Why did he go there? He went there to commit himself to give a report that the others hold he should give. Not that his seichel tells him to give. I'm going to do what the others, what I know I'm supposed to do now. Not what I think I should do. Not what makes sense to me. So when he was mishtateach by Kivrei Avos, when he went to the Kivrei Avos, he fortified his emunah pshuta, and that's why he was able to survive the miracle. Otherwise, with his head, he would have never been able to survive the miracle. Moshe Rabbeinu said, therefore, you're going to be the caretaker of Hebron. It wasn't even a gift, it was a responsibility. Kalev symbolized clinging to the Avos. So he told him, you're going to be the caretaker of Hebron. That's your job. And that's why Kalev ben Yefuna gets up and he says, listen, I'm not asking for another piece of real estate. I'm asking to fulfill my responsibility. Moshe Rabbeinu gave me a responsibility. Then. And that was kekoichi yoz, kekoichi yata. I have to do the same thing I did then. That responsibility I had then hasn't changed. I still have that responsibility. And that's why he goes to all, he's not trying to toot his horn. He's saying, I have an achrayus. Wasn't me, I based it on the others. And that's why he goes through the whole Mishaberach. And that's why Yeshua Benun Vayivorcheu Bayayim Ahu. And that's why the Perek ends that over there the Ovis are buried. Because that explains the whole, everything that's going on here. And this Perek is pivotal to the whole Kibush of Eretz Yisrael. Because it solidifies our connection and commitment to follow in the Derech Ovis. Okay.